This is an Alien UFO Podcast Extra episode, and I'm your host, Simon Bowne. My mission here at the Alien UFO Podcast is to investigate all things that are part of the wider UFO phenomena. I'm looking at UFO sightings, alien abduction, historic cases, and other related events. And if you enjoy this podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe. So in this episode, I'm talking to Andy Marcial about the documentary he made with Darcy Weir. It's called Transmedium, Puerto Rico's UFOs. Andy is a researcher of 20-plus years who was forced down the rabbit hole after very personal and life-changing close encounters. Hi, Andy. Thanks a lot for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
So we're going to talk about your documentary. It's called Transmedium, Puerto Rico's UFOs. There's this amazing video that's featured in your documentary. But just for people who don't know, where is Puerto Rico?
Puerto Rico is actually part of the Bermuda Triangle, little island in the middle of the ocean. And it is, at least in my opinion, considered one of the biggest hotspots for this phenomenon and others, actually, not just UFOs. There's so many other things that have been going on in Puerto Rico now for many, many, many years. And when I met Darcy from filming the first documentary, we got to talking, and I brought that up, the fact that, you know, so much happens down there, and I see very little information or research that people have done when it comes to the island, and it got him intrigued, and I ended up informing him of someone that I thought would assist with this documentary after he was interested in doing it. And I got him in touch with an individual called Jorge Martin. He's a reporter in Puerto Rico who's been covering this phenomenon and this topic for many, many years. I call him the George Knapp of Puerto Rico because he's literally the equivalent of him, but down there. And Darcy got in touch with him, and the rest was history. We met all these amazing people, and then we found out that he also knew the original leaker of the famous 2013 Aguadilla footage, which, if you haven't already seen it, go see it, because it's basically, like, I would say right now it's still the best evidence out there that's been leaked that shows this phenomenon is 1,000% real. And it exists, and our oceans are somehow linked to it, whether they live down there or they just use it for cover or whatnot. But it's definitely the one piece of footage that I've ever seen that just proves this is 1,000% real.
And the footage comes from, is it a police aircraft?
It actually a Department of Homeland Security craft, basically the CBP, or like I said, DHS, operate down there, and they basically were in the air when this object was seen off the coast, and they were alerted to something and were told to just keep an eye out because they didn't know if it was possible, you know, like drug smugglers or something like that. And they had noticed a light coming in from, there was a light over the ocean coming toward land that then shut off. And when they noticed that, they turned on the FLIR cameras to see if they could get a better look at what it might be, thinking that it was drug runners. And that's when the camera captured that object flying over the Aguadilla airport. And the only one that was able to see it, of course, was the FLIR operator, because, you know, it turned its lights off and there was nothing that they were able to actually visually, you know, like, get their eyes on to identify. So the only thing that they could use was the FLIR camera. And that's when they saw this, like, it was an almond-shaped object, fairly small in comparison to, you know, like commercial airliner and stuff like that. It wasn't a large object. It was, I would say, maybe like Cessna size or smaller. And it had an oscillation to it. It was like a It was like I would say maybe pops like a wiggle as it was flying. And you could see in the footage that it has some sort of field around it, like some sort of like energy bubble that's encased, like it's literally like right over it, like if it was a shield, sort of like an energy shield or something. And as they're tracking it, it's flying very low, like very, very low. At some point you could see it flying through like between the homes, like that low, right through, you know, between power poles, you know, like the telephone poles, I'm sorry. Yeah. And as they track it, it just keeps going. And then you start to see the shoreline, the beach. And they continue following it. And then it just goes all the way down to sea level. And then it goes actually into the ocean at one point. At the very beginning, though, it's kind of like skimming the surface because you could kind of see it. And then it gets blocked off by the water a little bit. And then it ultimately does submerge completely. And then after that, which is already amazing because it went from air to sea without any disturbance to the water or anything like that, without lowering or dropping in velocity. And as they're tracking it beneath the ocean, it then splits into two parts, and both of those two parts go into different directions beneath the water until the object was no longer visible.
And it's clearly under intelligent control, isn't it? It's not just kind of drifting along.
No way. It was absolutely under intelligent control. And plus, I mean, it went into the ocean, and the part that, you know, when it splits into two, like it has to be some kind of next level intelligence to been able to pull something like that off with whatever technology they were using.
And so when it's flying so low and it goes over buildings and there are cars there, I think, and nobody sees it, do you think that's because it's nighttime and it's a dark object, or maybe something else, like it's cloaked or something?
It could be just that it's dark. But there are instances and cases where these things do show some kind of cloaking ability. For example, in the video, you'd see an individual named David Falch. He is a good friend of ours, a 20-plus year FLIR technician. So he works on these cameras. He knows them in and out. He builds them. And he had an instance with a friend of his where they were testing or fixing a camera. And as they were going through, you know, whatever they do to you know, fix it and test it and stuff. And they were looking through the viewfinder and noticed an object in the sky as they were testing it out. And the interesting thing was, is that when it went from FLIR to visible light, the object would disappear in visible light, but would only be visible during the FLIR, you know, when the FLIR was activated. Or infrared, I'm sorry. Yeah, well, FLIR, infrared, same thing. So that basically showed that there was a legitimate physical object in the sky that was invisible to the human eye in visible light, in the visible light spectrum. But when switched to infrared, it was clearly there. And they went back and forth multiple times to make sure that it wasn't something wrong with the equipment. And that's when they realized that the equipment was working fine, but that there really was an object sitting in the sky. It was like an orb-shaped object. And that at least, you know, proves that they do have that kind of technology 1,000%. Like it's, and that's just not that's not the only case. There's other cases where these kind of things have been seen, where they're there 1 minute and disappear, whether that's that they shot off at incredibly high speeds or they, you know, cloaked in some manner. But it's something that they do have the ability to pull off.
And one of the interesting things about the object in that video is that when it goes down, it hits the water, it doesn't lose any speed. Because if we had something that, you know, what it's like, you hit the water, it's almost like comes to 0 miles an hour straight away. But that thing just keeps going.
Yeah, I mean, you would crash. It's like you would be hitting a brick wall at that moment and then you would sink, you know. But yeah, this thing doesn't show anything like that. It literally just goes right into it without any you know, any kind of like friction or anything like that, that would stop it or slow it down. It just, it's almost as if it moves the water out of the way as it's moving, like something is pushing it like out of the way. And maybe that's where that field that you could see that distortion around the object comes from, or what that basically is responsible for that. And it could be something that warps the reality around it, you know, so basically you're not affected by the like I said, like friction or anything like that when it comes to traversing those kind of mediums. It's very interesting when you think about it.
And how fast was it going when it was like going over land and over sea? Was it like 50 miles an hour, 100 miles an hour or something?
I believe it was going over 110 miles per hour at some point, or 109. I believe when it entered the water, it was going somewhere around about 100 or so miles per hour. So it was definitely not some kind of balloon or regular drone or anything like that. This was definitely something else, something different.
When it's moving that fast, nobody saw it. If something's going that fast, it will displace all the air around it, won't it? It's not fast enough for a sonic boom, but I suppose nobody noticed any air displacement or anything.
Well, if it was a plane that flying that low, it would have definitely riled up a lot of the locals, and there would have been calls to police that, you know, a plane was flying that low. But, you know, this, if it's using some kind of anti-gravity or some other means of propulsion that, you know, doesn't require the motors and the sound and all that, you know, thrust that's needed from our technology to move something like that in the sky, then you could literally park right next to someone's house in the middle of the night and they wouldn't even know it. So it makes sense that this thing would be flying right through populated areas like that. Nobody even knew. No one had a clue that this thing was even there because, and it's so quiet, you know.
Where does it go? At the end of the video, it goes underwater, then it comes out of the water and it splits into two. But does it shoot off up into the sky, or where does it go?
No, it split into two under the water, and they both disappeared into different directions under the water. But the interesting thing is that area of the ocean is the north part of Puerto Rico, and that is where the Puerto Rico Trench is located there, which is one of the deepest trenches in the world. And I've seen satellite imagery, I believe it was, or LIDAR, something like that, where at the very, very bottom of that trench, you can see a very long rectangular shape with clear, you know, right angles. And I mean, it looks artificial. It's not anything like the surrounding environment. And it's sitting right at the bottom of the trench. And it's very, very long, like miles long. And there's another one I saw that I was shown off the coast of Aguadilla, which is fairly close to, you know, the trench, but not like that. That shows something similar at the bottom of the ocean, but not as big. It's still long, but not as long as the one at the bottom of the Puerto Rico Trench. And the activity down there is so high, you know, like the locals see these all the time. People see them all the time. You talk to someone out there, any random person, you know, guaranteed you're going to find some kind of, or hear some kind of story, or that they know someone who saw something, because it's that commonplace. And they, because of that, a lot of the people believe that there is some kind of base out there. So it's interesting to have seen these images with these shapes sitting and resting at the bottom of the oceans near Puerto Rico, because it kind of adds to that suspicion that there may be some kind of facility down there based off of the high traffic seen in those waters and those areas.
And so who released this video? It wasn't an official release, was it?
No, this was an individual who worked in a specific area in that airport, and had basically the pilot and the crew involved in that incident were friends with this individual. And when they landed, they called him over to look at the footage because, you know, they were kind of confused as to what it was and excited at the same time. So they wanted to show someone and they ended up showing him. So he was able to see it from inside of the craft itself. The first time he saw it was in the plane after it landed. And he then, I'm not sure if it was the same day or a day or two later, he requested if he can get a copy of that. And he did. His friend gave him a copy of the footage, the original. And that footage he passed along to Jorge Martin, which then Jorge Martin, I believe, is the person who actually put it out there. So that gentleman got his hands on it and passed it to Jorge because he knew what he had. And then Jorge put it out there.
And he's remained anonymous, hasn't he?
Yeah, he does not want to have his information and his face and all that revealed.
And has there been any kind of official comment on it? Have they denied it or anything?
Actually, when the incident first happened, he explained to us how these cameras record simultaneously, if I'm not mistaken, or the way he worded it was like it records on the plane, but then it records to two other locations in the United States at the same time. So whatever they're seeing and they're capturing in real time, they're getting some location in the United States is getting it, whether it's, I think he mentioned CBP and FAA, if I'm not mistaken, something like that. So Federal Aviation Administration got a copy of that as well. And how he stated it was that a week or so later that they got confirmation from them that this object that they captured was authentic, was real. That's the first time I heard anything like that, where, you know, someone out here in the United States reaches back out to them to let them know that, yeah, this is legitimate, which was interesting because then that means that this is happening with other videos and they're seeing it all the time. But then basically what happened after that was once those videos did get released the way they did, a lot of things changed in the airport where personnel weren't allowed to talk to other agencies or intermingle with them because of the fact that, you know, that video had gotten out. So policies kind of changed and things got a little more tight when it came to security.
It just makes you wonder how many videos like this might be out there and they're just not released.
Well, the interesting thing is that right now, the most prevalent videos, in my opinion, number one, Aguadilla. Number two, the videos that were handed to me 2 years ago that I released that CBP also released on their website, I believe it was last year, and confirming that these were legitimate unknowns. They all come from the same agencies, you know, Customs and Border Patrol, the Department of Homeland Security, you know. So if all of the if the top videos right now showing something anomalous have all come from the same agency, then I can just imagine what else they have.
Yeah, I remember seeing a video over here. It was on TV and it's on YouTube of a police helicopter over a town called Brighton on the south coast of England. And they used the FLIR camera and normal lighting camera. It was nighttime. And they filmed this cylindrical object that was like a Coke can standing up. It was that sort of size, mm-hmm. Not that size, but that kind of shape. And it was just flying over the town of Brighton. And the camera operator switched between normal light and FLIR. And it lasts like 2 or 3 minutes. And then it goes over the coast and out into the sea. And the helicopter doesn't follow it. But it's very clear shape. It's definitely not an aircraft or a drone or something. That's what that reminds me of. I don't know if you've seen that one.
I might have. I've seen so many videos, but it does sound familiar. But yeah, it's it's definitely something that is here, whether you want to believe it or not. It doesn't really matter. You know, it's just the reality of it. But it's something that exists 1,000%, and yeah, I've personally seen it myself. I don't believe this from just a the perspective of someone who just finds it fascinating or interesting or anything like that. I mean, my first experience with this phenomenon occurred in Puerto Rico when I used to live down there and actually lived right next to Aguadilla and Aguadas. So it's literally the same. I mean, to me, it's the same thing because we were so close to each other. I could walk less than a mile and I was already in Aguadilla. And we actually lived right next to the shoreline, the area, the coastline, I guess you could say, of where a lot of the activity in the Aguadilla waters occurs. So we're literally right there. And my first experience didn't happen there exactly. It actually happened a little further inland in a location called a town called Atalaya, which is a town in the it's like a town in the mountains. The most of the homes are up in the mountains, so to get up there you got to actually like drive up this legitimate mountain, and this houses and everything scattered all around as you're going up. And I remember I was probably like 8 or 9 years old or something like that. And it was evening. The sun had already gone down. And I believe we were visiting friends or family. I can't remember exactly who we were visiting. I just remember we were there in that town. And I was outside in the front porch, like playing in the driveway, I guess you could say. And as I was outside, I remember, here's the crazy thing is that this is the earliest memory I ever have of my childhood, and it's the only one that I can remember so vividly or clearly. It's stuck with me my whole life. Nothing else in Puerto Rico, you know, my life in Puerto Rico around that time has ever stuck with me besides this. So I always found that interesting. And I remember I'm outside, it's middle of the night, and I kind of look up, or got this feeling or whatever to look up, and right above me was this black object, large. It was very, very low, like real low. Like it was low and large because I had to look side to side. I had to turn my head side to side to see the entire object. And I remember seeing a red light at one point, and then when I turned, there's a red light on that end, and I believe there was a red light in the front when I looked forward. So it kind of gave off the sense that whatever it was had a triangular shape to it, but I can't be 100% certain. That's just based off of what I'd seen. It resembled like it would have that shape, and it made no sound. But I know it was there because I remember just staring up at this thing, and it just began to kind of like move ahead of me, like forward, and then just took off, you know, silently into the distant mountains and disappeared. That was my first experience with this in Puerto Rico.
Now, if you had other experiences.
Oh yeah. My whole life, man. Uh-huh. It's literally followed me since then. That was the very first, and then my second most, I would have to say the most profound one that just basically turned my whole, you know, perspective of an understanding of reality around is it happened here on Long Island in around 1992. We were playing outside, me and my best friend, I used to call him my cousin, and it was summer. I'm not sure exactly what month it was, but I know it was summertime because we were in the pool and there was no clouds. It was a very clear, bright, sunny day, very nice. And me and him are playing in the pool, and all of a sudden, I think I was about 12 or 13, I would say. And again, I kind of got the sense to look up, or something kind of told me to look up. And when I did, I saw something that caught my attention. And when I looked back, it was a saucer sitting right over my house. Like, literally, like, have you ever seen the depiction of Bob Lazar's sports model saucer?
Yes. Yes, I have.
That's the best way I can describe it, that of what I saw in person. And it was not far. It was very close. I would have to say it was probably 150, 200 feet away from where I was standing. And it wasn't moving. It was literally just sitting still in the sky. And I'm staring at this thing. I look to my left, and my cousin is also, my best friend is also looking at it. So I realized that, okay, you know, this thing really is there. I'm not hallucinating. And it had the, it kind of looked like I could see the surface texture. It almost looked like brushed aluminum. Like it wasn't like chrome or anything like that. It was like, that's the best way I can describe it. You ever seen a DeLorean?
Yeah.
That kind of texture. So, and similar color too, actually. It was a very similar color like that. So I'm looking at it, and I wasn't able to see the top of it. I was only able to see the edge and in the whole bottom side. And there was no rivets, no seams, no nothing. It looked like it was all one solid piece. One smooth, solid piece, very smooth surface. And there was no lights. It was just the actual physical craft itself. And then a few seconds after staring at this thing, it began to move to the left of us. But I always tell people, like, as incredible as it is to see that, I for some reason, the movement was what stuck with me. The movement always... was always the weirdest part of that, because of how it did it. Like, you know, you anything moving that you see that's not biological usually has some kind of thrust, you know, like something that's propelling it, you know, that's pushing it forward. This didn't have that. So when it began to move, it almost felt biological. It almost like it gave off the sense of how when you would see something biological moving, where you just, you know, you're just like, okay, it's moving because it's something, you know, flesh and blood, or, you know, alive. This thing almost gave off that same sense, because have you ever played air hockey?
Yes. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. So when the, you know, the air puck is just literally sitting there floating and it's not moving, but when you give it a little tap, it starts to move.
Yeah, it's on those tables, isn't it? Sort of like a pool table.
Yeah, or another example I could give you is like quantum locking. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
That's where you super cool. I believe it's a magnet down to almost absolute zero, and there's some phenomenon that occurs at that point where you can move the magnet into different, you know, location or like angles, and it locks. It'll stay there, and it won't move when you press it up against another magnet, something like that. I might be butchering the explanation, but that's the gist of it. And it's very, very odd phenomenon, but it's also cool because it basically was doing something similar. At least that's how it looked. So if you want to look that up, that's the best way I can. That's the best way of viewing how my explanation of how this thing moved and how this thing was just stuck in the sky. It was almost like quantum locking. And once it began to move, it was moving towards the left of where we were standing, which is east. And we watched it. It didn't pick up velocity. It maintained a very relatively slow speed. I would maybe estimate it was probably like 15 miles per hour, maybe, from where we were standing, based off of its movement. So it wasn't like very, very fast. It was almost like it was just like rolling, in a sense. And as we watched it, at one point the sun's glare glinted off of it back towards us. So that was another piece of information or data that, you know, told you something, you know, this is real. Like, this is really, really there, because, you know, little things like that are important. You know what I mean? Like, that tells that's the information you need to let you know you're looking at something legitimate. And it just continued at the same speed until it just moved so far away from us that it, you know, but the tree line covered its covered our view, and we didn't see it after that. But you know, that completely changed my life upside down. Like, it turned it upside down. I mean, there's no way of explaining it. You know, it's something that you would have to experience yourself in order to understand just what it does to your mind, because it's basically a glimpse into a reality that, you know, everyone tells you isn't real. And then when you're standing there and you're staring at it, you know, your brain is trying to make sense of what it's looking at, and it's not able to register the information because of what you've been taught or what you've been told. You know, so when it's there in front of you, your mind, it's like, it's almost like rewiring itself, try to understand and make sense of what it is you're looking at. And when that happens, that rewire basically changes your views of reality and everything because of this experience, because you now know, okay, I know I wasn't hallucinating. That was there. It was real. It was a real physical object. And no one believes it, but it's there. You know what I mean? So it's like almost like opening up Pandora's box. You know, like you are one way before opening it, and then after opening it, all this comes out and your life is no longer the same. Things change, and, you know, it's something similar to that. But yeah, and it doesn't end there. You know, many years later, actually a couple of weeks later, before I get to the other part, a few weeks after that, after seeing that, I had an incident in my room where something woke me up in the middle of the night, and it was in the same house that I was still living in the same location. And, I woke up, wake up in the middle of the night, but you don't open your eyes. You're just conscious. So I kind of did one of those where I heard something or something woke me up. And actually it was, I felt something first, but I thought it was something that I heard. Like, it's weird. My mind basically switched to that, thinking, oh, maybe I heard something. And I just laid there listening with my eyes closed and felt an impression at the foot of my bed next to my left foot. So again, I, you know, my mind just kind of like brushed it off, thinking maybe it was just, maybe I'm dreaming, or I'm imagining this or whatever. Maybe one of my siblings is waking, you know, walking around in the middle of the night. Because sometimes, you know, they would do that. My little brother and my little sister used to wake up in the middle of the night, kind of walk around and come to the room and stuff. So I thought it was something like that. And I just laid there listening, and waiting to see if maybe it was just me to go just slip back into sleep. And then I felt another impression at the foot of the bed on the other side of my foot, on my right side. So once I felt that, my heart starts beating, because I'm like, okay, I'm not hearing anybody walking, but something just pressed down on the foot of my bed. So now my heart's racing, right? Again, I'm trying to, maybe I'm dreaming, or, you know, I'm just, you know, feeling things or hearing things, whatever. So as I'm laying there, I then feel the original one on my left side lift off the bed and move to the side of my waist and press down. And once that happened, that was like the confirmation in my mind that, okay, something is in my room. And I just laid as, you know, I didn't open my eyes. I just laid there, but my heart was just racing. And I felt the one on the right side of my foot lift up and move to the side of my the other side of my waist, and I can feel the impression being pushed down on the bed, or at least that's what my mind was attributing it to, because the last place I was in is my room. So every single time this whatever it was would move, my heart just raced faster and faster and faster and faster. And I'm like sweating bullets. I can feel myself just like my blood, my body temperature is rising from my heart beating so fast. And I feel another impression at the foot of my bed on my left, by my left foot, and then another one by my right foot. So now there's four impressions. So in my mind, I'm getting this vision of something kind of like kneeling over me in a sense. And then the ones by my waist slowly move to the side of my shoulders, while the ones by my foot move up to my waist. At this point, I'm like, I'm crapping in my pants. Like, I'm terrified because I don't know what it is. I'm too afraid to open my eyes, and my mind is filling in what it cannot see with all the scary things I've watched and things like that. So that's where that fear comes from, because you don't know what's there, but you're attributing it to all these scary things that you have seen while, you know, alive and awake. And I'm laying there, and my heart is beating. I'm sweating. I'm terrified. I try to move my finger to see, you know, like I at one point I attempted to try to move and I couldn't. Like I wasn't even able to really even move my pinky. It did feel almost like I was paralyzed in a sense, but I attributed to just being paralyzed from fear. You know, I felt like if I moved, something was going to happen, or if it was going to trigger it to react or something like that. So I figured sitting as absolutely still as I could would help. But I did attempt to move at one point and could not. And then I felt like if you close your eyes and you put your hand in front of your face, you can sense it. You could feel it. And that's because the sound of your voice, you can hear it. I mean, your breathing, you can hear it. So you can tell when something is in front of your face, even though you can't see it, based off of the sound of your breathing and the wind of your breath hitting back to you. Like it's just, you know. And that's what I felt. I felt like there was something right in front of my face, just staring at me or looking at me. And then I stopped breathing. I felt like the best that way I could describe it is almost like a choking, like a drowning feeling, but it wasn't liquid that was doing it or anything exterior, like something, you know, choking me. No, nothing like that. It actually felt like something was inside my airway, blocking my air path. And I was trying to get a grasp of it, you know, a breath of air, and I couldn't. And eventually, you know, when I realized what was happening, and I'm like, well, I'm about to die, you know, like this is it. And decided, screw it. If I'm going to die, I'm just going to, I'd rather see what's about to do it, you know, might as well. So at the time I was in Christian religion and church, and decided, you know, I started praying. I was like, oh God, help me. And I said, screw it. I opened my eyes. I sat up and took a deep breath. Like I just came out of that, you know, like from drowning and just got that nice first deep breath of air. And that was it. I look around and I'm literally sitting in the same bed that I've laid down in last. And I could not understand what happened. I know it was real. I researched it for many years. That's something, another experience you'll never forget. And I thought, you know, after research, I thought maybe it was sleep paralysis, you know, trying to come up with something rational. But even sleep paralysis, there's no real explanation for it, right? But then I also started reading abduction experiences, and my hair stood up when I started hearing people describing the exact same scenario And in some cases, some of these people had their eyes open. And in many of these cases, they weren't even in their rooms. They were out, they were taken from their room. So, and I actually met someone I'm very good friends with still who had the exact same experience, and they live on the other side of the planet. They live in the Netherlands. So how is it possible that all these people from around the world, different parts of the world, are having similar experiences, and it's being attributed by science to a sleep paralysis? Like, really? How is that possible that so many different people can experience the exact same scenario during sleep? Like, I just can't see that. I find that to be more unbelievable than believing in aliens, because, you know, when you sleep, it's random, you know, like you're not having the same dream like that as someone else. So to have that same thing happen to so many people, it's got to be something more. So it's, you know, I always said to myself that it was very possible that experience. I was definitely visited by something, but I may have not even been in my room. It's just my mind, because that's the last place I was, and I didn't want to open my eyes. It's all I pictured where I was still in my room, but I may have not even been in my room. I could have been somewhere else. And maybe me not being able to breathe was because possibly something was being put in my throat and, you know, down my throat. Like, who knows? But that was interesting.
And so do you have other experiences throughout life then that might indicate something like that's going on, or is it just a couple of things?
No, I actually had, that was the most profound, because it was a daylight, the one I told you here with the saucer, because it was a daylight sighting. So it was a physical thing that I saw. Then that one was just as impactful, but it was more, you know, of the senses of touch and smell and all that, not vision, because I didn't want to open my eyes. I was too scared. Or maybe I thought I didn't want to open my eyes, but I just really wasn't able to. Maybe I really was paralyzed, but I'm thinking I just didn't want to move out of fear, you know? But it's something I've, now that, you know, that I'm 42 years old, you know, I look back at everything and I say to myself, you know, there has to be something going on, at least in my life or with my existence somehow, because I've had so many different instances of things like this happening in such personal, I guess you could say, manners, like in intimate. It's not like seeing a light in the sky from the distance. Like, this is actually interacting with me in some manner. And one of the most recent incidents that occurred with me that solidified it. Like, at this point in my life, I don't even need to see anymore. Like, I don't even need to research this anymore. Like, what happened the last time to me basically confirmed it for me 1,000%. And it's like, I'm good. Like I have some kind of sense as to what's happening with this, at least in my own life. And that to me is more than enough. I don't need the government to tell me that this is real. I don't need anybody else to tell me this is real. Like, this is real. You know, like, in my reality and what I've experienced, this is real. And all those feelings I've always had of like I've always felt like I didn't belong, even before, you know, researching and having those experiences and not understanding them. I never really fit in anywhere. I was always the outcast. I was always like the black sheep. I could never really intermingle with people, because the way I thought, the things that interested me, the things that, you know, I would say or talk about would, you know, not everybody was into that. You know, everybody was doing their own thing, and I'm over here staring at bugs and, you know, researching weird topics and staring at the stars for hours in the middle of the night, you know? And while staring at the stars, I used to always feel like I always have this real strong sense that there was something else out there that I was connected to that had nothing to do with this planet. And I don't know why I always felt that. And I actually met some very good friends that are now very good friends of mine who have had very, you know, prominent and profound experiences as well, who said the exact same thing. One night, I believe it was a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, I actually caught this on video. I had enough sense to instantly pull my phone out when this occurred. But before it happened, what transpired was that I was running down my block doing some exercise and I was on the phone with somebody. After I got off the phone with them, I was looking up at the stars as I was walking back to my house. I was a few blocks away from my home. And it was a very beautiful night. The stars were out and I always love to look up. And every now and then, like, I'm not religious anymore the way I used to be because of that experience. It kind of was one of the main motivators of me leaving religion because it just didn't make sense. And I wasn't able to take the teachings of religion at face value anymore because it just didn't add up to what was happening in my life. And I still believe in something bigger, just not religiously. I don't associate myself with any religions of man because, you know, to me, it's more of a fantastical thing, like a fantasy thing than a realistic thing. Like there is something bigger. It's just not the way we're interpreting it. It's something else. So I'm looking up at the night sky and I just so happened to say out loud. I was like, you know, I haven't had a real, profound experience like that last time. Like, you know, the one here along that I told you about with my friend, with my cousin. And I said, I would love to have something like that happen again. I can't lie to you about how this went down. This is exactly how it went down. I looked up. That's what I said. Okay. And I'm walking back home, not thinking anything. I just said it with as much pure intention as possible. And as I'm walking home, I get to the end of my block. And I'm about to get to my house. I'm like two houses away from where I'm at the corner of the block. And in the corner of my eye on the left side, I caught something in the sky, which I thought was a shooting star. I looked up real quick to try to catch it. And I just caught it when it disappeared. And I was like, oh, crap. So it's like 10 something at night. There's barely any cars on the road. So I'm looking up and I see it again. And I was like, holy crap. So I'm thinking maybe it was like a little like meteor shower type of thing, right? And the odd thing was, is that I did notice that it was very odd. The light was not like a normal shooting star. I've seen many shooting stars. I've captured photos of shooting stars. I've seen them up close with the fire behind it when they enter the atmosphere. This was not like that. This was more, it looked more artificial. But I still wanted to rationalize, you know, and be like, okay, maybe it was another shooting star. Then it happened a third time. And I'm like, okay, like what the hell? So I turn around to see if maybe a car was coming because I wear glasses and I'm thinking, all right, maybe it was a reflection from somebody with a flashlight or a car driving in the distance, but there was nothing, nobody. So I instantly pulled my phone out and just hit record and pointed up at the sky. I wasn't looking through my phone because I didn't want to, you know, I was just pointing it up in the hopes that I would catch something if it happened again. And I cannot lie to you. This light appeared in the same spot. It didn't move into another location or anything like that. It was the same general area. And it did it another three times. So six times in total, this light appeared in the sky and moved in an arc-like fashion, a very short arc, and then would disappear, but then would repeat itself from the other side and redo the exact same motion again, six times. And out of those six times, I was able to catch three of them on video. And since that day, I was like, I couldn't believe it. Like, what are the odds that you look up at the sky and you say what you say in that exact way, requesting something to happen or something to be shown to you or some kind of sign, I guess you could say. And then all of a sudden, not five maybe 5 minutes after you open your mouth and say that to the middle of the sky or to the sky. This happens right above me, literally above me. Like I'm looking up and it was happening right above me. And from that day, to me, that was my confirmation, that feeling that I've always had, that something was either has been watching me or following me or observing my life, was 1000% accurate, was real, was true. Like those feelings were confirmed, that because there's just no way that that could have been coincident. There's no way that you have higher odds of hitting the lottery back to back than for you to be walking around the middle of the street in Long Island, look up at the night sky, say that, and then this occurs to you where this light appears over your head 6 different times. And I was able to catch it to prove it. Like that was, I mean, I don't know. Like, again, I don't know how to explain it. It's just something you'd have to experience, because I don't fear death anymore, because I know something else exists after. I don't fear that, them, or whatever it is, because if they really wanted to harm us, we would have been harmed. We wouldn't be here. So why it's following or it has followed me, I have no clue. But I know 1000% that was a reply. There's no other way to explain it. Something responded back to me after I said what I said.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's almost as if your first experience and the one where you saw the Bob Lazar sports model, they showed themselves to you on purpose. They're trying to move you down a path, perhaps.
I don't know. It's I've always thought of it, you know, thought about it, and then I have no clue. I have no clue. But I just know that, you know, and I've had other things happen in my life, not, you know, involving that, but, you know, certain situations and what leads to certain situations occur in my life that I just say to myself, something must be watching out for me, because I've been faced with some situations that I thought I would, you know, they were difficult, you know, and somehow something would occur later on that would get me out of that or bring me back into a safer path than where I was before. But it's not like, I mean, it's, I don't know how to explain it. It's an experience where you can see that it's not something that you've done for yourself, but it's almost like something has caused this pathway to change in order for this one to be, or the one I'm walking to be the positive one, or something positive occurs. Like it's really difficult to explain, but I've observed that, I've seen it, and I've recognized that it's happened in that manner in my life. Like it's very weird.
Well, it's been great talking to you today. We've almost run out of time. We started off talking about the documentary, which is Transmedium Puerto Rico's UFOs. And we talked about the FLIR camera video, but that's not the whole documentary, is it? I just wanted to, you know, let people know you've got to see the documentary, because you talked to a guy that seems to be having interaction with ETs. And there's some great video of a really bright blue light under the water that was taken by some fishermen.
Oh yeah, it's. I mean, the video, the interview with Andres Maldonado is amazing. The interaction he had with this supposed being is absolutely incredible. We sat and spoke with him for a long time. That's not the full interview that Darcy put on the documentary, but I just knew that this person was not lying either. Like this experience and the story he told us was absolutely incredible, and there's a lot of that down there, you know, and this documentary was mainly to show that, you know, it was more about the human aspect, the human side of it, not, you know, putting famous people in or getting important people talking about it. It's just the everyday person explaining and letting them, you know, telling their story as to what's they've seen and what they've encountered. And I highly suggest watching it, because it's really amazing to hear it, you know.
So where can people find the documentary?
Right now, I believe it's on Apple. He was trying to put it on Prime, but there was some hurdles that he had to get over before that can happen. But right now, it's available through Apple TV.
Do you have other documentaries?
He has the other one that he did before was the Transmedium Fast Movers. But this is the first that I've actually assisted with him. I only took part in the last one, but this one, me and him actually went out and did the boots on the ground work.
Well, that's great. Thanks again for coming on the podcast. It's been fascinating.
No, I appreciate you having me. Thank you very much.
And that was an interview with Andy Marcial about the documentary Transmedium, Puerto Rico's UFOs. A great way to support the podcast is to sign up to Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/alienUFOpodcast. When you sign up, you get access to the episodes in the back catalogue, and they are ad-free and are released 2 days before the free versions. And if you want to try out the extended episodes, you can now get a 7-day free trial. There are two tiers. In the $3 a month tier, you get an extended episode every month. And in the $6 a month tier, you get an extended episode every week. My website is pastliveshypnosis.co.uk, and on Instagram, I am rparanormalafterlife with an underscore between each word. And if you enjoy this podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.